Well, our focus this morning is on that first reading which Amanda gave us. It's from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and in these Bibles it's on page 1174. It may be a help to have that in front of you as we continue our studies in the book of Ephesians. Shall we pray for God's help? Let us pray. Your word is truth. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that as we consider your word this morning, you would open the eyes of our hearts to see the richness of your grace, that we might put our faith in Christ and go forward from here with hearts full of humble thankfulness for all that you've done for us. Amen. Well, the heading of that reading which Amanda gave us is Made Alive with Christ. Do you know what I mean by those before and after photographs which companies sometimes use to advertise the difference which their service makes? We were looking at some of these photos in our youth group the other week. The first pair of photos was for a car repair shop. So the before photo had this car with headlights smashed and the bonnet and bumper all bent up. And then the after photo showed the same car but beautifully restored by the skill of the mechanics in this car repair shop. The second pair of before and after photos was for a hair regain service. So the before photo had a man who was bald, and then in the after photo, somehow, a full head of hair had grown on the same man. Amazing stuff. If you'd like the details of that treatment, do have a discreet word with me after the service. I'd be happy to pass it on. But the pair which really grabbed the attention of the youth group was for a new service in Japan where they come and tidy your bedroom for you. So the before photo had this bedroom and there were clothes and food and books all over the place. And then in the after photo, I suppose it was the same room, but everything was neat and tidy and in perfect order. Well, our reading today is from the book of Ephesians, a letter from the Apostle Paul to Christians in the city of Ephesus, in what is now Turkey, bringing God's word to them. And in today's reading, he gives his readers their very own before and after photos. He compares the situation they were in before they put their trust in Jesus with the situation they are now in once they've given their lives to him. You see, Paul's readers had grown up in that city of Ephesus knowing nothing about Jesus at all. And then a few years before, they had heard of Jesus Christ and all he had done. They'd put their faith in him. Their physical situation probably hadn't changed much. I guess they were in the same house, the same job, the same family. But Paul wants them to see that their spiritual situation has been wonderfully transformed. Spiritually, they've gone from death to life. Now they have asked Jesus Christ into their lives. So Christian believers, this passage will remind us the wonderful difference that having faith in Christ makes to us. And the more this sinks into our hearts, the more in the midst of the challenges of life, we'll find a humble gratitude and gladness welling up inside us. If you're looking into the Christian faith, while this passage shows how important it is, and the difference that Jesus Christ can make to you. So let's start with the before photo, the situation that they were in, and we would still be in, without faith in Christ. It's not easy reading, by the way, but we need to understand the bad news if we are to appreciate the good news. So before, verses 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. A shocking and sobering words. Transgressions, that refers to the ways we cross over and do the things which God does not want us to do. Sins, that refers to the ways we fall short and fail to do the things that God does want us to do. But we learn here that the result of this rebellion against God is that we were spiritually dead. Our sins separated us from the life of God, from life lived in relationship with Him. One writer has said, "Without Christ, we may have the vigorous body of an athlete, the lively mind of a scholar, the vivacious personality of a film star, but at the same time be spiritually dead, blind to the glory of God, deaf to His voice, and unaware of His love." Before Christ saved us, that's the situation we were in, spiritually dead, following the ways of this world, following, it says, the ways of the devil, which are disobedience, and following the cravings of our own sinful nature. And the very end of verse 3 says, "Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." Well, what is God's wrath? It's not like human anger. It's not bad temper or spite or malice, which our anger so often is. No, all through the Bible, God's wrath is His personal, righteous hostility to evil. His refusal to compromise with what is wrong, and His resolve instead to condemn it. And God's wrath is not incompatible with His love. No, it fits in with His love. It's because He's good and He cares that He condemns what is wrong. So the challenge of these verses is to take sin seriously. Our culture sees sin as a great joke. There's a burger bar in Canada where they've got 7 varieties of burger named after the 7 deadly sins. They see it as a huge laugh. But this passage shows us that sin is deadly serious. We were all made in God's image. We're valued and loved by Him. We're capable of great good. But we all reject God as our rightful ruler. We turn our back on relationship with Him and go our own way instead. And the result is that before Christ saves us, well, as it says, we're spiritually dead and facing God's wrath. Now that's the situation Paul's readers were in before they had faith in Christ. And it's shocking and sobering, but Paul's purpose is not to depress us. He wants to show us the wonderful difference that the grace of God can make. So let's turn to the after photo, the situation that they are now in, now that they've come to faith in Christ. And we see this in verse 4. "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Isn't God's love amazing? His love does not depend on what we are like, but on what He is like. Even when we were dead in sins, He loved us. Not because we are lovely, but because He is loving. And in His love, He made us alive with Christ. That is, Jesus Christ lived the life we should have lived. He lived a life of love and obedience. And then He died the death we should have died. He died on that cross to pay the penalty for sins. And then God raised Him to life again. And if our faith is in Christ, God has united us with Jesus so that His resurrection gives us new spiritual life. Once we were spiritually dead, but now we have new life in relationship with God. We're aware of God's love. We know His greatness, and we want to please Him. Some of us may be able to think of a particular time in life when we came to faith in Christ. For others of us, we may never have known a day without Jesus. But either way, this is the difference that faith in Christ has made in our lives, bringing us from spiritual death to life with God, now and forever. What gratitude that should give us. Imagine an 18-year-old boy living a wonderful life. He stays with his parents. He enjoys their love. He enjoys their home. But this boy's life had not always been like that. At one time, he was a slave in a cruel criminal gang. But then the man he now knows as his father set him free. At great personal risk, at great cost to his fortune, he broke into that gang and set the boy free, and he brought him home and he adopted him as his own son. Now, when that 18-year-old thought about the difference his father's love had made, bringing him from that cruel slavery to that happy home, what gratitude would fill his heart? I bet whenever he thought of it, he'd find his heart welling up with thanksgiving. But actually, that's as nothing compared to the before and after of every Christian's life. One time we were dead in our sins under God's wrath, but now we are made alive in living relationship with God, now and forever. So we've seen the before and the after. The final part of our reading tells us how this change happens in someone's life. Let me read verses 8 and 9. These marvellous words used by the Holy Spirit many times over the centuries as a gateway to eternal life for those who've considered them. Verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It says we're saved by grace. That is by God's undeserved kindness as a free gift that we just receive. And then it says we're not saved by works. Now that's quite a challenge, and it can be a big surprise. Many people think that if we do enough good works, God will accept us. If we're kind enough, if we do the right thing enough, if we go to church enough perhaps, then God will accept us. But the message of the Bible is our good works could never save us. The problem of sin is too serious for that. Instead it says we're saved through faith. Now that's not just intellectual agreement with the truths of Christianity, but it's putting our personal trust in Jesus. If you like, putting ourselves into his hands as the Saviour who died to pay for our sins. We're saved by grace, not by works, but through faith. I once heard someone explain it like this, and it helped me to think about it. Imagine a bookcase, a huge bookcase, where the books on it represent people's lives. And the shelf that you go on the bookcase depends on how many good works you've done. So on the very top shelf are people who have done good that has sort of affected the whole world. So right up there, there's Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, and people like that. On the next shelf down are our charity workers, blood donors, people who've done a lot of good in their life. Then on the middle shelf, it's just regular folks. On the shelf below that are people who have caused pain to others, traffic wardens, dentists, preachers who preach long sermons, people like that. And then on the very bottom shelf, murderers and dictators. Now imagine you were asked to draw a line on that bookcase between those who are accepted by God and those who are not. Where would you draw that line? You know, I guess most people would work out what shelf they were on, and then somewhere below that, they would draw the line. But the message of the Bible is that the time is coming when God will draw a line. But wonderfully, his line will not be a horizontal line. It will be a vertical line, separating people at every level on the bookcase. Those who have received his free offer of salvation from those who have sadly not. Those who have put their faith in Christ at every level from those who have sadly not. See, we're saved not by works, but by grace through faith in Christ. And what that means, as it says here in verse 9, is that no one can boast. Sometimes people think that we Christians are very proud. I guess sadly sometimes we are. But we Christians should be the most humble people in all the earth, because we know that our salvation doesn't depend on good works we have done, but on God's grace and what Christ did in dying for us. So if you're here as someone looking into the Christian faith, this is what you need to do. This is what God wants you to do. To put your trust not in yourself and your good works to be right with God, but to put your trust in Jesus, who died for your sins, and so receive new life from him. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no place for good works in Christianity. Don't think you get away with it that easily. Let me read the final verse, verse 10. It says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." It's talking, I think, about the new life that God creates in us when we put our trust in Christ. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The point is, having received that salvation as a free gift, we should give ourselves to a life of good works as our grateful response to all that God has given us. Good works aren't the reason we're saved, but they should be the result of receiving salvation. Now, if this works, perhaps this diagram will sum up all we've been seeing. Has it worked? Is that now visible? I hope you can read it. If not, have a look later. Now, I'm going to try and lean over and point to it, and I'll probably fall out of the pulpit. It's so natural to think in the way of the first line. I think that's how all of us naturally think. If we do enough good works, we'll receive salvation. But all the way in the Bible, we see that is not the way. Our good works, no matter how many we do, then it could never atone for our sin. But nor do they have to. Because the bottom line, God offers us salvation as a gift through Christ. But having received it should lead to all kinds of good works in our lives. Now, I think this is so hard to accept. It's very humbling to hear that there's nothing we can do to contribute to our salvation. Many people would leave a sermon like this thinking, but it must be by our good works. It must be by our good works that we're saved. But no, the Bible says they can't do it. Our only hope is to receive what God offers us through faith in Christ. Well, we started by thinking about those before and after photos. The car repair shop, the hair regain service, and the room tidying service. It's easy to think that faith in Christ makes just a tiny difference to us. But in this passage, the Holy Spirit is saying that the difference is huge. Christ brings us from spiritual death to life with God, now and forever. And that gives us a wonderful, wonderful perspective as we go forward into the challenges of life. Let us put our faith not in our good works, but in Jesus, our Saviour, who died for our sins. And so let us be humble, and let us be grateful, knowing that our salvation is all of God's grace. Let us pray for those dear to us, that they too may come to faith. And then let's give ourselves to all kinds of good works, not because our salvation depends on them, but as a grateful response for all God has given us in his grace. Amen.